Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shay's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Welcome to another edition of BJ Shay's Geek Nation. I'm Vicky Barcelona, and with me, surprisingly, is Mr. BJ Shay.
Hey, I stumbled into this room. I know you people.
We bribed him with free brownies.
That's true.
Always.
And with us as well is Joey D.
Yes, we've all made it. The whole gang's back in studio to talk some awesome stuff. But what will we be talking about?
I want to know.
Well, Gareth von Kallbach will join us from Scoot and Review to talk some Orville season Ooh. 4 and 5, maybe.
What? Oh, this, I'm excited to hear about this.
Yes, and or moving platforms to maybe help get a broader audience.
You know,
do a little catching. And, of course, there is a BioShock movie that might finally be being made.
What?
I know.
Based on the Vid Joe game.
Yeah, that's right. BJ will review Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
You almost said Black Panda, didn't you?
I almost said Black
you
Panda.
You keep saying Black Panda, which, you know, look, I know you love Panda Express, but come on.
Yeah, well, you know. BJ will also give us a review of his impressions of season one of Game of Thrones' House of Dragons.
House of the Dragon.
And the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more.
More.
Just search for BJ Shay's Geek Nation at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes, and the Odyssey app to find us.
Odyssey. Do it.
Easy as that.
Easy as pie. Well, I say we get straight into our lovely interview with Gareth von Kallbach from Skewed and Reviewed, because the Orville might be coming back, and you might be able to watch not one, but two more seasons.
Ooh, von Kallbach!
Gareth von Kallbach from Skewed and Reviewed, that is SKNR.net, joins us. Gareth, great to have you here. Thanksgiving is coming up next week, and I heard we might have something coming to some Disney platforms.
Absolutely. So basically, they've got an interesting little dilemma with the series Andor, which is getting set to run its final episode of season one next week. It is a critically acclaimed series, but yet people are not watching it. One of the big issues, as anybody who's followed it, is it's a very slow-burning, character-driven story. There are not a lot of action sequences. There are some episodes, in fact, I remember a span of 3 episodes where there wasn't even a single shot fired, no face combat, nothing. But Disney and the powers that be are very high on the series, especially since there's a second series coming, which is going to, you know, every few episodes is going to jump a few years, going right up to the start of Rogue One. So they're taking the approach that they're going to try to put the first 2 episodes on as many of their platforms as they can, get people to see it, kind of a try it, you might like it, and then if you want to see the rest, join up on Disney Plus. So we're hearing ABC, Freeform, Hulu available this over Thanksgiving for people to watch.
That's awesome. I don't know about you, but I have been loving Andor. I know, like you said, it's not as action-packed as the other Star Wars stuff, but the writing is really delivering, and I'm liking the acting, and the stories done in that 3-episode kind of arc has been really good.
Absolutely. What's really great about it is, unfortunately, I'm under this gag order and I can't talk about it, but I, like most people, Disney sent us the first 4 episodes before it launched, so I was able to see that, and then like everyone else, I had to watch it each week as it came out. And then a few days ago, they said, here's episode 11 and 12. You can talk about 11 just before, right as it airs, you cannot talk about 12. So I've already gone through the full season, and I'm just really excited to see where it goes next, because there's just, like anything, like any good end to a season, you get so many things answered, and then you have questions for the next season. And so I'm really excited about it.
Have we ever had a series do this where it's been added to platforms after its original airing, and how have they done?
The only other one I could think of most recently was when Disney moved the Orville from Hulu to Disney Plus. Now, they didn't take it from one. They just said in addition to, but they waited until after it had done its run on Hulu to make it available on Disney Plus. And, of course, you know, as people remember pre-COVID, they moved it from Fox to Hulu. And so that's about the closest thing I can think of that the studio has done.
And I can imagine it only gets more views at that point. I mean, the more distribution you can get for a product, usually it goes up in consumption.
Correct. And that's the idea. The idea behind it, especially in this, is give it a shot. Watch the first couple episodes. We think you're going to be intrigued enough to want to go and see it where it's available. And, of course, you're going to get those people that will say, I'm not going to join a streaming service, whatever. And that just bodes well for in the future when they say, fine, we're going to put the whole series out on home video. Here it is.
Yeah, you know, I hope that it does gain more traction because I did hear that it had lower streaming numbers, but I do think this is some of the best writing in the Star Wars universe that we've gotten in the last decade, at least. Gareth, you did mention a little bit about the Orville. I heard that we might have season 4 and 5 rumors.
Those are, right now, they're extreme rumors, but let me kind of bring it all into where we're going. So as we know, when they came at San Diego Comic-Con, I did get a chance to interview some of the cast members, and then immediately afterwards, they had the big panel in Ballroom 20. They showed scenes from the upcoming final two episodes of the season, and Seth MacFarlane was not able to be there in person because he was working on the Ted series, but he joined via satellite, and he basically said what everybody else had heard. Yes, we want to make more, but it's up to the studio right now. It's a very expensive show. The people are involved are all on different projects and stuff. We all want to make more, and there you have it. So the big announcement was, well, it's going to be coming to Disney Plus. And, of course, that's been the big question. People, you know, go out and tell your friends, stream it, watch it, and the ratings apparently have been very good. What's going to happen? Well, about a week and a half ago, Rachel McFarlane, Seth's sister, who does the voice of the computer, was at Rhode Island Comic Con, and she apparently had said there's going to be a meeting this upcoming week where we talk about the potential of an upcoming season. And that was it. There hasn't been anything said. Well, all of a sudden, somebody who is a prominent person in one of the fan forums came out and said, his exact phrasing was, a little birdie told him season 4 has already been approved with an option for season 5. But the announcement will not be made until the new year.
Wow, that is, I mean, great news for Orville fans. I will say, if there's a place you're going to go to look for money, Disney is the company you want to go to. It doesn't surprise me, at least one season. Every Trek fan that I've listened to says the Orville is some of the best stuff in terms of just quality content in the genre in that space.
Absolutely. And the thing, of course, you have to remember is nothing's official until the studio announces it. Sadly, things could happen and fall apart. This is all just rumor and speculation. Supposedly, Seth had said the other day, no news yet, we'll let you know. But, of course, if it is true that they have an agreement and they can't announce it until the first of the year, that could be for any number of reasons. It could be as simple as, we've got to go negotiate all these deals with all these people, so we don't want to announce it until everybody's all on board. It could be for, various strategy planning, or there could be nothing at all. It could still be up in the air. But supposedly, at least one person associated with the cast said a meeting has already, at that time was scheduled, as we're talking now, already happened. Haven't heard a peep about it. And somebody who claims to be an insider said this is what supposedly has happened, and that's why they're all going to officially say no decision, until the official announcement is made, which would be early next year.
That's a smart move. Keep everything under wraps until you got all your bows tied, as they say, but it does sound like that snowball's rolling down the hill in the right direction.
Absolutely, and what we're hearing is they would start production in 23, and it would debut in 24, which would also give them time for the various projects that they're currently on to conclude, come in and do that, and then move forward. So hopefully, as somebody pointed out, they said the fact that they have not come out and said it's canceled, it's done, should say to you that they are intending to make more, and now it's the matter of the business arrangements, because someone pointed out, if a studio does not want to continue, you don't go months after the fact still waiting. They generally will make that decision that we're not moving on. So that makes people optimistic that there is an intention. It's just the who, what, where, when, and why format that's being worked out.
Very true, and I'm sure BJ is very excited. I know he loves the Orville. Moving from TV and movie stuff onto video games, one of my favorite games, BioShock. I hear we have rumors that we might finally be getting that long-awaited movie.
Oh, absolutely. Now, this one is really interesting. So, going back, they had planned one with Gore Verbinski, who did the Pirates of the Caribbean series. It was going to be an R-rated film. To give you an idea how far back we are, Wentworth Miller, hot on off Prison Break, was going to be a star in the film.
Wow.
And things basically, it was essentially, wow, an R-rated film with a $150 million budget. This is going to be a tough sell. Maybe we need to rework things, so on and so forth, and move in a different direction. It's been in limbo, much like the franchise. Well, we heard a few years ago that there is a fourth game in the series in the works. We started to hear rumors of a movie. Well, now they're gaining traction again because Netflix is apparently the home where it's going to be. You know, we've seen The Witcher. We've seen Castlevania. Apparently, Netflix is eyeing a lot of things from some Ubisoft content like Assassin's Creed. I've heard The Division is being looked at, you know, as their platform. And what we're hearing now is that the director, producer of some of the recent Hunger Games films, including the new prequel, he's behind it, and he said they're writing the script right now. It looks like everything's to go over at Netflix, and the person who worked on the Blade Runner 2049 script is apparently involved in this as well, and he's confident enough that he says this may very well be my next project that I move on to. Now, I'm cynical. I'm kind of in that, like the Logan's Run reboot film that I've been hearing about for 20-plus years. You know, I've gone from, they're building the sets just down the road. We're going to start filming in a couple weeks. I'm under the, I'll believe it when the cameras start to roll, but at least people that are high up in the production have said it looks like it's gaining traction, and they believe that they're going to start work on it very soon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, after we saw all that WB cancellation and stuff, I don't want to hold my breath or, you know, kind of a thing. I don't want to get too excited until, you know, the movie's actually going to come out into theaters and has a release date.
Absolutely. It's crazy.
But, you know, I do think that if you remember that scene from the Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange and where Wanda's underneath trying to chase them and that kind of like those rusty pipes and that underwater scene, I imagine that kind of horror for BioShock with a great story. I think it could be an amazing movie.
Absolutely. And I think what helps is twofold on this. One, you're doing it on a streaming service, so you're not going to have that problem of, oh my goodness, it's an R-rated film, which is going to limit the number of kids that can come in, teenagers that can come and see it. It's going to make it harder. Oh, we better make it PG-13. But in doing that, we're going to alienate the hardcore people. The other factor is I think The Mandalorian is a good example of why this thing is happening and why it's moving forward. And in that, that's the stagecraft technology that they use, where instead of having a green or blue screen behind you, you have a panoramic set of screens where they can do all kinds of landscapes. You know, as somebody had told me, they said, if you ever watch The Mandalorian, they're not out in the desert. They're not out on a frozen planet. It is a soundstage in Los Angeles. But because it's got that panoramic thing behind them, it not only makes it look like you're out in the middle of the desert, you can do the floor and all of that stuff around it. It makes it much easier to build these exotic locations because you're not having to build it from the ground up, you know, as tricky to say, well, it's just one segmented green screen. It's a panoramic shot, the sky and all that. And I think that would help for an underwater city because, you know, essentially, they could be on a soundstage in L.A. and simply saying, okay, now we're going to walk into this room. Boom, 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 boom. It's a fancy ballroom. Walk into this room. Ba-da-da-da-da. Now we're in a like a engine room, something like that. And it gives them all kinds of flexibility and possibilities while doing it at, while still costly, a more reasonable budget. I mean, you know, $150 million 10 years ago, would obviously be more money now, but if you put $150 million into it now with that technology, it would be something that would probably be twice that 10 years ago.
It's a great point. It's a lot easier, like you said, to move from scene to scene when you can have that flexibility. And then obviously the water is always difficult. I feel like a lot of studios do it wrong. So it's nice to have that ability to just kind of switch from scene to scene, really focus on those rooms that are in between as opposed to just being like, you know, in the water all the time, like the Aquaman movies and the Jason Momoa movies that just, you know, they're a little tough.
Absolutely. And the great thing, too, is with the enemies, shall we say, you have so much more flexibility to do them in CGI now versus having to take gigantic actors, stuntmen, basically, and say, we're going to put this gigantic diving suit on you and hold this drill and all of this. Now they can be incredibly creative like they were with the games because whatever you can imagine, you can program in and put it in. And now you're putting it in a digital environment where you can much easier and seamlessly interact with live elements.
Most definitely. Well, as always, Gareth, it was great talking to you. I love all the rumors, and I love the possibility of these great things coming in the near future. Hopefully we get good news. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime. Take care now.
Thank you again so much, Gareth. Always great to hear from you with all that news. I love BioShock. I really do hope we get a movie, and I hope it doesn't suck. I don't care who the main character is.
And look, I'm one of those weird guys that loves The Orville and also loves Star Trek. I don't have to sit there and go, The Orville's a great show, better than blank.
That's right.
Yeah, I just, hey, guess what? I like things, and I like other things, too.
And you're more than welcome to enjoy them, despite what other people think. Moving along, BJ.
Mm-hmm.
You have seen Black Panda, Wakanda Forever. We got a review.
Panther.
No,
you see? Did say Black Panda.
I don't know. I just like pandas. But yes, you have seen Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And we got a review from Gareth. And he had the, I'd say, consensus that it was probably where you might be thinking it's at, which is okay.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.5.
Ew.
And I know that I am in the minority. A lot of people, I mean, even Rotten Tomatoes gave it up in the 80s. And, of course, the viewers gave it even higher into the 90s. And it's funny. My friends, my friend group, my board game group, they all loved it. They usually like to get together and all go see these Marvel movies when they first come out. And they all did that. And I posted in our Facebook group, well, I know why they call it Wakanda Forever. Because that seemed like forever how long it went.
Oh, no. It is almost, what, 2.5+ hours?
2 hours and 40-something minutes.
Two 250.
It's long. And luckily, Vicky did at least spell out that there were... I don't know a whole lot about some of the characters in this movie because I just haven't been reading comics, and I was never a big Iron Man fan. So it turns out this character, Riri, who you'll meet, I get now she's a somebody. I thought...
You see her in the trailer, and we did talk about it, I think, on the last episode of the podcast that... it looked like on IMDb and even Rotten Tomatoes, she was listed as a character.
Yeah, and you're saying that they're getting ready to basically give her a show.
But when they made the big announcement for like the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special and all those, that Ironheart was one of the shows that was announced, and it's supposed to come out late 2023.
Yeah, so the problem was, for me, I don't know anything about this character, never read the comics, so it was just like, who is this person? Why are we spending so much time with her? Which is adding to the amount of time in the movie. And you know, it seemed like, okay, that's exactly who she was, somebody they were introing. But me, I'm like, I don't know why you're here. I don't understand. I mean, I get there was a plot device as to why. I hated the plot device as to why. I thought it made one of the characters in the movie look like an idiot because of this plot device. But you know, they're trying to sell a new show, new character. I'm like, all right, that helped out a little bit. It's just too long. It to me, I feel like it's too long. And I think I'm partially to blame for why I didn't like this movie. I was one of those folks that said, and spoiler alert, if you this is important if you don't want to know exactly what happens, but if you watch the trailers, you know you're going to see a Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I knew who it was going to be long before I saw the movie. I go, that kind of looks like that's probably going to be.
And it's kind of been posted on like sites or even like the IMDb of stuff. So if you don't want to know, don't look.
Yeah, and don't listen, because I do have a commentary about it. And that is that I, way back when we lost Chadwick Boseman, I was like, you know who I would like it to be? I would like it to be Shuri. I think that would be a great Black Panther. Why not? I thought that was a good idea. After seeing the movie, I realized I picked the wrong person. I'm like, oh my God, I really picked the wrong person. And it should have been, in my mind, It should have been Nakia, which was, of course, the love interest played by Lupita Nyong'o. I realized watching, and first of all, that was the other problem with the movie, is that for a long time I'm watching the movie and she's not in it. And I'm like, were they not able to get her? Because I wasn't following along, so I'm as far as like outside of stuff. So I was going into this movie cold, not really knowing a whole lot. And I'm like, did Lupita not get to be in this movie? Why wouldn't she be in this movie?
She's been in a lot of the promotional tours for sure.
Yeah,
she's in the trailer.
Yeah, and I haven't watched the trailer much, and so I didn't remember if I saw her in the trailer, but she's not in the movie for a while, and so I'm like, my brain is like, okay, what the? So they introduce a new character. And maybe that's my problem. I should know more than I do going into these movies. But I was all of a sudden going, I don't like the new character because, well, where's Nakia? Why isn't she in the movie? I like Nakia. And you want to hear from Nakia because she's got to feel badly about the death of the Black Panther, which they address in the movie. Not really happy with, I mean, I don't know how else you could do it, but I just felt like, okay, I don't know. It felt like they spent 20 minutes being very upset about his death and like 20 seconds telling us about his death, which it's like, it was weird that they didn't tell us more about his death. But I think they were, as the movie goes on, I think you realize, especially at the end, you go, oh, maybe this is why they were being cryptic. Though I hated why they were being cryptic, to be honest. But you know what? Look, there's great stuff in the movie. I like the actor who played Namor, and he called himself Namor, and then some people said Namor, so whatever.
Almost like a Moor, I heard. Like, it was supposed to be like he's like almost like a love character, the way he was pronouncing his name. Like, I am like a Mia Moor. It's like, I am the Moor.
Yeah, and there is a reason. Actually, Joe, caught that.
I think I saw, and I've been telling Joe this and the podcasters for the last couple weeks, I've been getting a lot of personalized advertisements, whether it's fan art or predictions or whatever, about Namor and Tenoch Huerta, who is the name of the actor. And I'm really obsessed. I have a feeling that when I see this, I'm going in with a bias because this is going to be the first time I'm going to really see like my culture represented.
And I did hear they did that well.
It looks that, beautiful
that is
based
done.
What I'm seeing.
Yeah, that is, I don't have a problem with any of that as far as how it was done. It's fantastic.
So I will try to be less biased, but I will say that when I do see it, I'm hoping this weekend I'll be able to go see it.
You won't be disappointed by that. Mm-hmm. Because look, I know the original story, at least from way back in the day. They definitely changed Namor's backstory from probably at least the Fantastic Four Marvel comics. He was in the 40s before that. But I don't care. I don't care about that. I think it's actually much more interesting what they did with Namor in this.
And I heard they changed it, like, especially with like the whole Aztec influence. I had read somewhere that they kind of did that to make it different from Aquaman's Atlantis.
And frankly, I don't think you should care about that as far as if you're a person going, oh, it's not canon. That didn't bother me. As a matter of fact, I love the actor. I love parts of Namor. But then I don't know what happened with the writing. Sometimes I think, you got to write things. And, it's kind of like in the pitch meetings when Ryan George goes, why do we do that? To make the movie, to move the movie along. Because things, that's disappointing when you go, my God, this character can be a great character, and you make him look like an idiot. That irritated me because I'm like, I love a lot of stuff that's happening here, this rich culture and what's going on and how these people got to be who they are. And then they go, hi, now we're going to make him an idiot. And I'm just like, no, what? No. And that, unfortunately, is what happened. Also, for Shuri's character, I feel like they really just, it's just like, okay, the movie says, here's the two of them basically get together in the movie, and you go, this is cool. And then all of a sudden, it's stupid. And it's stupid in a way where you go, you just showed us what both of them were capable of, and now you're showing us stupid. Which, to me, I was just like, this is stupid. I know that people can be angry. I know people can have grief. But especially for Namor, it's like, you're an idiot. Yeah, you are a complete moron because we are living in the Marvel Universe. I heard Joey say this a lot. This is not what they would do in these Marvel. These characters wouldn't do this, especially with the rich legacy of the MCU. This can't be how this is. It's just no.
I was wondering if that storyline was going to hold up just because I didn't know where they were going to go without a main character. Did that, because there's no, usually you have a protagonist, an antagonist, or, some sort of combination of good and bad, or at least neutral, if you're talking about the Punisher, who's more of like an anti-hero. But this movie didn't really portray that on screen with the trailers. It was more like Chadwick Boseman funeral, which is great. I understand they don't want to replace him. But who is Namor really fighting in this movie? Like, what is he, you know, is it like for the...
He's fighting the writers, in my opinion. Here's the problem, Joe. Chadwick Boseman was amazing. And that's what we loved about the movie. Sure, all the surrounding characters that were there, including Shuri. Shuri, to me, was an amazing character as a supporting actor. When they put her in the lead role, which is what they decided to do, I don't know if it's Letitia Wright, I don't know if it's the writing, but I realized, damn, I'm missing the charisma that a lead has. And I call it the Newt Scamander effect. If you guys watch any of those Fantastic Beasts movies, they tried to make Newt Scamander the lead character of those movies.
So bad.
It's not. He's got no charisma. And yes, we all want to see socially awkward people succeed and be represented, but they're socially awkward, which means they're not going to be charismatic. And that's not going to be the leader that's going to be able to bring you and make you love a movie. And Letitia, again, I don't know if it's her or the writing, because Letitia's a good actor. Here's how it was illustrated for me. I got to see Lupita Nyong'o finally show up as Nakia, and I'm like, oh my God, there's your actor. There's the person that's got the charisma. There's the person that's just able to just do so many different things, and you're like, all right, you're a spy, and you're also this, and you're also that, and I can picture you as a leader. And that's when I realized, oh, I made a mistake. I had no idea that what I wanted, which at the time I wanted Shuri, I really should have wanted. I should have wanted Nakia. And that's what I was so hoping in the movie. I'm like, maybe they'll do this. Maybe I was thinking it was just going to be Shuri as the Black Panther, and they'll make it Nakia, because it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be legacy, because we got to see you could fight and challenge to be the Black Panther. That's how they did it in the first movie. That's how, you know, Michael B. Jordan's character got to be the Black Panther.
Do you have to be within the... it was M'Baku who did challenge him in the first one, too. Okay, so...
Yeah,
he was of royal lineage.
Well, and they...
Wasn't he in his own tribe?
I guess. So I feel like they could have fudged it if they wanted to make Lupita. I mean, would you see some of the things they fudged in this movie, in my opinion? They could have figured out a way to go, oh, it turns out Lupita is related to Jimmy. And, you know, and Jimmy turns out to be the king of the kings.
So it just doesn't end up getting there, it sounds like, with the Black Panther storyline in terms of, you know, the succession. But how is my boy M'Baku? He's my favorite character.
M'Baku is fantastic.
M'Baku does what he does. M'Baku's good. He's good. Again, he's a supporting character, so I don't have a problem. I had a problem with what they did with Okoye, and unfortunately, and also, you know, Angela Bassett, I forget the mom's name, but, you know, Angela Bassett and her interaction with Okoye irritated the hell out of me. Danai Gurira is a great actor, love her from The Walking Dead, love what she did. That's the problem, is I love everybody as they were, but they weren't the stars. And unfortunately, they all got a little bit more time. And the one that really should have got a lot more time should have been Nakia, because I really think Lupita is just, she, you know, there are people that are just special actors that you go, you are a lead, you are the it person. Chadwick was the it person. And I think, wow, we all missed it in our own hearts. Like, oh, Lupita's got chops. Maybe she should have been the Black Panther. Maybe I could see them making a ton of movies with her being the Black Panther. I don't know about Shuri as the Black Panther. I'm not interested. And I think they ruined her character. She was, I think, great as basically the super brainiac, fun-loving sister who I felt like she was. She had a great sense of humor. She was fun. What they did with her in this movie, I'm like, I don't like this character anymore. And I will tell you, Vicky, it reminded me of what they did to Rumor in season 3 of Umbrella Academy. Rumor was dark. I mean, and it's like, that's, wow, you know what? We don't know Rumor to be that dark and that mean and that horrible. I put up with it for a season, I guess, because I thought, okay, but I was like, wow, this is really a departure from that character. And I feel like that's what happened with this with Shuri. I think it was too much of a stretch of a departure for me. Eventually she comes back, I guess, but all of it just seemed to be like,
it's tough. I give them credit for at least making it what it seems like an acceptable movie at the very least in terms of dealing with that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It's just like, you know, Star Wars. It's not as bad as what people thought happened with Star Wars.
Oh, and, no, definitely not. No.
You know, that's why I say 6.5. And if they cut out 30 minutes, there would have been less time between the action. There was just a lot of times where you go, okay, we get it. You're upset. Okay, we get it. You had this kind of life. Okay, we get it. You know, it was just like, okay, we get it. You're a brilliant kid in MIT. Okay, we get it. You know, it's just like, that's what I felt like. It's like there's just too much time wasted on this stuff, and they want to give everybody their scene, and they're like,
That was my big complaint with these new movies in general. Thor a little bit less so, but like the Doctor Strange, it's like, we don't need backstory. Like, I get that you want to give us new characters and backstory, and Shang-Chi did it better than most of them because at least it was a complete story, but we've had 10 years of backstory of super characters, and I know you want to introduce more of them, but you can do it in a team up as opposed to eulogy almost.
It's a little tricky, I noticed, to try to introduce new characters and have them be an important part of something, but then also not providing information. And I would like to bring up the last season of Doom Patrol. They introduced, basically, it was like two ghost kids and this chick who could see them. It's like the ghost detective, which is cool because they're making a series now of that. But they came in and it felt like I was supposed to know who these people were, which they've never been mentioned. They're not mainstream, so I have no idea what the hell they're supposed to do. Are they good? Are they bad? And not in a, hey, this is kind of cool, mystery way. More of a, I'm confused. What are these people doing? And then they're in and out of
the
show.
That's Riri. That is how Riri felt to me. And yet, like you said, Vicky, there is a history, just like there were. But that's the problem. They expect you to know all this. And if you don't know all this, they don't realize if you don't know this, that doesn't make it a good movie anymore. And that's the, I think that's the thing I'm having with Marvel and the MCU is that there are fans that do not care that the movies on their own, just for somebody's sight unseen, they don't care that they're not good. And that's what I said about Endgame. If you just bring somebody in to say, okay, is this a good movie? Did they get you involved? Do you have to know everything? And it's like, no, Endgame, you really go, no. I the only reason you care about these scenes is because you've had 10 years of it. But really, these scenes are not that great.
Well, there's an old joke about Endgame that I always say. It's like, no one ever recognizes a bad heist movie until they realize the movie's a heist movie. And you sit there and you're like, Endgame is a bad heist movie. But you like it because the end of the movie, right, is the 20 minutes that you've wanted to watch in the MCU universe for the long time. It's the team up. And it's great. And don't get me wrong. It's a high bar to say you should beat Infinity Wars because Infinity Wars was the exact opposite. It was like the culmination of all of their movies. And it was amazing. There's no way you're going to top that. So I give Endgame a little bit of a shrug in terms of, okay. But
they could have made it. You're right. You're right, Joe. You don't top that. You're right. But you could have made it better.
You could have made it a little better.
They could have just edited it to make it better. And I say the same thing. It's hard to beat Black Panther for two reasons. Number one, Black Panther was a terrific movie, the first one, as usually most first movies are. And Chadwick Boseman was fantastic, and he's no longer with us, and it's hard to replace that. It's not like he's Dumbledore. If the kid playing Harry Potter passed away, that would be hard. What do we do? Do we get a new Potter? Do we decide to make Neville the guy? I mean, there's a lot of decisions that have to be made as opposed to, we'll just get a new Dumbledore. That should be fine. It's not going to take that people out of the movie that much. This was hard to do. Your guy's gone.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
And that's why it's like, so then why make it 2 hours and 40 minutes? Your guy is gone. You need to make a shorter movie. And then maybe down the road, but they're like Vicky said, well, we want to introduce this new show, and we want to do this.
And to give people perspective, Endgame was 230, or no, Infinity War was 230, Endgame was about 3 hours. So this movie is longer than one of their big payoff movies. Interesting that it's that long.
It was too long based on the fact that they were missing the big charismatic guy. And I wonder if anybody else feels the same way I do when you watch the movie going, gosh, I think Nakia should be the Black Panther. And definitely Nakia is much more qualified for what she does and what she has done, as opposed, you've got basically, it's like going, you know who the new James Bond's going to be? It's going to be Q, the guy that makes all the guy that makes all the stuff. Or maybe it should be the spy, which is what Nakia is. And they even, in the movie, Nakia goes, hi, I'm going to do something badass now that I'm in the movie. I'm like, oh, there she is. Oh, my God, and she's badass. And you're not going to be the Black Panther. Okay. And I'm not, and canon shouldn't get in the way or lineage or whatever. You figure that out. I'll let you fudge that to get me an actor who I think, and look, I like Letitia Wright. I think Lupita's better at being that lead. And I wish she was our Black Panther. And I wish the movie was shorter.
All right. Well, not great. as it sounds, in terms of, I assume this is probably your lowest rated one of the newest MCU movies.
Yeah, I don't think I've given everything a 6.5. Yeah,
did we get any advance of the plot? Because that's my big thing about these movies. I get it. They want to do origins. It's fine. But they need to have at least 5 minutes of advancement in the world because the world is so important.
Here's what they did. They introduced a new set of beings. So that you're going to, Namor and his people, though you'll ask yourself, how do we not know about, nobody knows about them? That's a big part of the movie. Like, they want to be secret and stay secret.
We didn't know about Wakanda for a long time, like what they really were.
I would argue that there were people that knew, but also felt like, you know what, if they want to stay, they can stay. I mean, like the super brainiac Reed Richards or Tony Starks or Bruce Banners, they probably have, or the Avengers, they probably have a way of knowing, but go, hey, you know what, they're super powerful, we'll let them be there. Like, they know they're there, and for whatever reason, they're not bothering us, let them be. That's my opinion, and that's what I choose to believe.
That's kind of what they hinted at in Endgame, I believe.
Yeah, so it's the same thing with Namor and his gang. And yet, this is a big plot part of the movie, secrecy. Like, the reason he does some of the things, which I still think are stupid. Again, I love the performance, and you said his name great. How do you say his name?
Namor?
The actor?
Tenoch Huerta.
Yeah, Tenoch Huerta. He's great. I was like, God, dude, I really, really like you. I hate what you're saying.
But what about?
And that's the writer's problem. That's not, I mean, the dude I really thought was a great Namor. I'm like, I want to see more of him.
But so how did it tie into the universe?
So the universe is, here it is. Here's this guy. Oh, and you know Fontaine, the Julie Louise Dreyfus character? She's in it as they've been forced, you know, they've been getting, and I know she's a character in the Marvel Universe. She's been in the shows. She's in this. And
spoiler.
Sorry. But we told everybody she's in this, and there's a way that she's in it that does make you go, what's going on? But then there's a connection that she has that I'm like, okay,
so I
guess
to specify, there's no Galactus that's coming out. There's
no
Reed Richards from an alternate universe or Doctor Strange.
There's one end credit scene, and I got news for you. You're going to hate it. I hated it because they go, here's the end credit scene to explain why basically Lupita Nyong'o hasn't been in the movie. Okay. And then they go, here it is. And I go, what? What does this even mean? Why do I even care? I almost just, I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. It's just like, it may even matter that Lupita was not the Black Panther when they gave us this. And this, as far as I'm concerned, this end credit scene did nothing to further the Marvel Universe. This was, I think, let's give everybody a feel-good moment, okay? And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm all for feel-good moments, but this is enough. Let us actually just mourn the death of Chadwick Boseman and don't give us this to help, like, lessen the... Because I felt like all it meant was, let's soften the blow. And I'm sorry. No, it didn't soften the blow. It irritated...
Healing process was supposed to go full circle and then not it again.
I really... In a way, it was sort of like, I think you just, in a way, cheapened this movie and what the movie was trying to say.
But don't worry. It was on the screen because if it comes off to the credits, it doesn't count towards the plot, which I always laugh at. Thanks, Moon Knight, for your most important reveal in the after credits of the last episode. Don't even get me started on
that. And
it's
not supposed to be a part of the plot?
Oh, well, no. He has a third personality, but don't worry. We won't tell you that till after the show is over. Oh, is that important because he's actually still evil? Yeah, but don't worry about it.
But
yeah.
That was hinted throughout the whole series.
Well, why is it in the after credits scene?
It's first season two.
But it's the most important part of season one that he's still evil.
Oh, Marvel. Marvel, making everybody
right,
happy at a time.
Because you know he's evil at the end of season one, but for whatever reason,
there's
it's not part of the storyline.
Look, the movie is beautiful. There's a lot to like about the movie. If you are a fan of a particular character in the comics that Vicky knows about that I didn't know about that Brian Bendis created, you're going to be happy to see her. I'm happy to know that she's a somebody. I just, unfortunately, I feel like the way she was thrust upon us, it was unfair to the actor and the whole character because, again, we're mourning the death. We're trying to figure this out. This, to me, is not the place to introduce a new character because we're trying to get this series back. This series, you know, the movie had a massive blow to it, and you go, here's somebody new. And it's like, I don't want anybody new. I'm trying to get used to, give me all the other people, and let's see if we can figure that out. And I think Marvel just doesn't, sometimes I don't know if Marvel understands emotions enough. Whereas some other franchises, like Doom Patrol, they understand emotion. I think they missed, they swung and missed emotionally in this a lot. I think they tried to be emotional, and they really fell flat, and instead had these long, drawn-out, should-have-been-edited-out moments that they thought were going to be powerful. But I'm like, I'm sorry, I've watched too much good television and good movies where they actually do emotion very well, and the one thing they wouldn't do is introduce a new character when you are just... You have a gigantic hole based on the fact this is the first time we've seen this franchise since we lost Chadwick. And they introduced this new character really quickly. It was a plot device, but it's like, and this plot device made the other dude, Namor, even stupider. Like the whole plot, that like this, that's why like this new character, I hated her only because you made Namor look stupid, and then they put too much time on you when really what, and they didn't show me the girlfriend, and all we saw was that everybody was sad and what. I mean, it's just like, oh, and
it's tough to do that with a character off screen death. I mean, I don't think you're going to be able to really hit the points you want to. I do think that at least from the trailers, the actors look like they do a good job in the movie, but. You know, again, like you said, 2 hours and 40 minutes without a main character to hold that together is going to be tough. And but if you liked Black Panther, let us know.
Yes.
Please send us your responses. Obviously, BJ, not a fan. Vicky and I have yet to see it. Gareth was a little higher than you were, I think, on Black Panther, but he was the same thing. He thought it was being a little too overrated, I think, on the, you know, socials, but... Moving along from that,
yes,
to something that maybe we did like a little bit more, at least I liked a little bit more. I gave my review of Game of Thrones House of Dragons a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Season one had ended, and it had ended with the Dance of the Dragons looking like it was kicking off. How did you like the last episode,
the
BJ?
The Dance of the Dragons? You mean the House of the Dragons?
No, so the
Was that the name of the episode, Dance of the Dragons?
No, so the big storyline in the lore is... called the Dance of Dragons. And that's the dragons fighting when they all get into the huge war with each other. And so this is supposed to be the prelude to kicking off that fight.
Oh, I did not... See, I know nothing about the Game of Thrones lore. Oh, this is exciting.
Because as you saw, I'm sure in the end of the episode, a spoiler for people who haven't seen it, we do see a dragon get eaten.
Yes, so we do. Yeah.
That is supposed to kick out the quote-unquote dance, which, you know, dance loosely used as a, way to say killing of all dragons.
You know something? And this is what... When I talk about that people do emotions and people do stuff well, this House of the Dragon shows you family dysfunction and what it can do. And Vicky, you've talked about this before, generational trauma. My mm-hmm. God, I mean, when it comes to the Targaryens, I mean, it's like centuries, it seems like, of generational trauma.
Yep.
And they've really done a great job in House of the Dragon showing you why S went down with really the people that were one of the most powerful. And I love the fact that peacetime and being a king who is all about trying to make things peaceful doesn't get you S in history.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Game of Thrones had in their seasons.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that they commented on that he will not be remembered, even though all he did was fight to keep the peace while everybody was like, let's kill everything.
It makes me think of Richard III. So I did take Shakespeare in high school, and I was actually really interested specifically in this play. And it starts off with Richard III, who was said to look like a weird spider because he had these crutches, he had a giant hump on his back, and he was a phenomenal war hero. But in times of peace, he was restless. He had nothing to do because I'm good at war. So what does he do? You know what? I'm bored. I want to be king. That's the whole idea. So when you guys talk about this, I immediately think, I wonder if George R. R. Martin got inspiration from Richard III.
It's hard to believe that he didn't, because, I mean, everybody gets great inspiration from things from Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to.
History in general.
Yeah. And obviously with English entertainment, you know, as this, I mean, with all the English actors, makes sense, because that would be Damien's story, because Damien just feels like his brother is too soft and his brother is the king. And we get to see just so much devolves and so many mores are brought into question. And so much deception and what motivates that deception, and then power grabs and then upset and you know, the idea that men in general just go, you know what, we're going to go to war, and that women sometimes are dismissed when they can be wise, going, is there a better way? It is beautifully done. And then the children and the competition between the children, and you're not really my children because you weren't fathered by the right person, and should that even matter? And And I mean, and it's funny, it mattered to a lot of people, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, no, it doesn't matter because people remember the name anyway. Who cares who the body is as long as my name goes on? So much of that was covered. As we see, like Joey talked about, the big power base of these people are the dragons, and they're going to turn on themselves. What would have kept them in base of power, they're like, oh, you know what? Our biggest weapon, we're just going to kill each other with our own weapons.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they've set up the Two Queen War, which was kind of alluded to with the episode names because they had both the queens, the Green and Black Queen.
Yep.
One being definitely more political, although playing the game terribly because I think the writers wanted to set this up. But again, season one to me was going to always be a little bumpy. We knew there were going to be time jumps. We knew that they were going to have to somehow make it a big war by at least season two. But, you know, and then, of course, Daenerys, or Daenerys, as I always keep calling her.
I hear all the names are really, really
similar.
Yeah,
Rhaenyra, I think.
Rhaenyra, yes. Rhaenyra is the other queen who is now lost a child and going to start the war. I think season two is going to be incredible. I would be very surprised that it doesn't hit that top peak of those 10 out of 10 episodes you remember from Game of Thrones, seasons 1 through 3, 4-ish, maybe. Because the worst part about season one of House of Dragons was they changed actresses or actors in the middle of the season to do the time jumps, and they had to set up the world. And that was hard. But they pushed through it, and they didn't do a bad job. And that's really important, because if they had done a bad job, they lose their audience. They did a decent job.
They did. I really, you know, especially, I like both Rhaenyras. I really, you know, the adult Rhaenyra grew on me because I really like young Rhaenyra. The adult Rhaenyra, I'm like, you know what? She's reminding me of, like, it seems like it's the same character, even though it's a different actor. That's done well. And the same thing for the green queen, who I'm forgetting her name.
Allison,
yes, thank you. I thought both Allisons did a really good job to the point where that seemed more seamless to me. I really felt like, I feel like they're the same person. And Matt Smith is killing it as Daemon.
Pun intended.
He's the favorite character of the show. Everywhere I read on any review, he's the best character. He's supposed to be a hated character, at least for the first half of this show.
It's like you don't know that fandoms love the bad guy.
Yeah, well, and Matt's a great actor.
Plus, that doesn't hurt.
Matt, you know, and us Doctor Who fans and people who watch the first few seasons of The Crown, you just know that the dude's got chops. He can figure it out.
It is really fun, though, to see an actor that you know for good things turn to be bad.
Yeah, well, and you
could, like David Tennant in Jessica Jones.
Yes, and Matt had that look, and even Doctor Who, where David Tennant's Doctor was always a friendly guy. Matt's Doctor sometimes was an he was just like,
but he had a dorky vibe to him.
Well, dorky
he's still,
he had a dorky vibe. But Vicky, as he was in the show, and Matt talked about this, he decided he wanted to bring some elements from the first Doctor, and the first Doctor was crabby and kind of didn't like humanity. So I love that Matt brought that to the character, and therefore you can go, oh, okay, this is not such a friendly dude. He still made him lovable, but to make an unfriendly sort of persona lovable, it seemed like Matt was the right guy for this Daemon character.
When we're done wrapping up the whole Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, I do have a question that Joe and I have talked about on a previous episode, talking about actors portraying like good then bad, vice versa. And I would like your opinion on something.
Sure thing. Well, I give it a solid 8.5 at least, you know, and I enjoyed the season. Who knows if I gave it even more than it should because I kept watching it against Ring of Power, and that's Rings of Power, and that was unfortunate for the, you know, but very fortunate for House of the Dragon. I, like you, Joe, looking forward to the next season. I love what they've done.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this just goes to show you, man, when you take some of that budget you have and you put it into writing as opposed to CGI, because the dragon CGI in this show is not, you know, opera quality. It's not the highest you've ever seen. It's actually, I'd say, pretty average. But when you pay the writers and you create a good script and storyline, it's far more profitable.
And just want to say this because my wife and I have our guilty pleasure is Netflix's Fate the Winx saga,
which is based on like a children's series. And,
I know,
like, toys.
Which is amazing what they've done with this, because it's actually, I don't know if it was toys first and they wrote a story around it. I give them a lot of credit. It feels like a CW show, but the reason I bring it up is that Eve Best was on the show as a character that was a big character, and she's such a good actor. And Eve, of course, is Rhaena Targaryen, mm-hmm. which was going to be the first queen, but they said, no, we can't have a female.
Was it the queen that never was or something?
Yes, exactly. So Eve got that job because all of a sudden they replaced her or basically they had somebody else come in. Whatever the case may be, she was no longer on the show after the first season. And I'm like, is it because Eve got the job on Game of Thrones? Because Eve's a good actor. And not that we don't like the second season of Winx. It's just that I think Eve is missed because she's just a really good actor.
Yeah, and I do want to say, I did say profitable about Game of Thrones. And I will give Lord of the Rings this. They did have insane viewership, better than House of Dragons up until the last episode. So
really? More people were doing the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's just because of the name.
It is because of the name. Now, that doesn't mean review-wise it's as good.
No.
I hope people then will go back, the Lord of the Rings fans, go back and watch. Go get HBO, man, because you are missing out on a great season with House of the Dragon.
I believe House of Dragons' last episode was after Lord of the Rings finished, and once it finished, that last episode of House of the Dragons was higher. So essentially,
so good.
They were competing, and I do think it'll be interesting to see which season two will have more viewership. Only time will tell, but I'm hoping in here, I want more Lord of the Rings in the sense that now that they have taken the showrunners, they've given them less of a position. We have new writers. I want that show to be good. We should have two of the best shows on television right now.
Yeah. Here's the trouble, Joe. Game of Thrones does it better.
They do.
And here's why. Lord of the Rings was written by Tolkien a thousand years, whatever. But, you know, and I've seen interviews with Tolkien way back, old timey stuff. And he just wouldn't have put in the crap, not the crap, but he wouldn't put in, I should say, the salacious stuff that George R. R. Martin's putting in, like the incest and the chopping off of stuff and the doing this with that and that. And I think that we're used to the grit of that. And Lord of the Rings can't go there, and therefore you better put on an amazing story if you can't give us some good grit and good emotions.
I agree with that to an extent. I will say Aragorn's character in the first Lord of the Rings, if you remember that kind of fallen witcher-esque type character,
yes. Yeah.
That is where the show should have started, but in a different way. And they tried, but you can't make him Sauron. He's the bad guy.
I know. Did you talk about that, by the way, with the Witcher?
Yeah. Oh, the poor Witcher recasting? We did mention it. Yeah,
yeah. I'm so sad.
But have you seen the mock-up that someone did of,
Liam
Hemsworth, thank you, as the Witcher?
He's pretty.
He looks pretty good.
Look, I'll watch. Yeah. I'll watch it. I'm just, you know, Cavill's performance.
He's so good.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's just like, I mean, it's going to be
also
like...
And also Cavill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't blame you there.
Listen, that's fine.
Well, Vicky, you had a question.
I'm more of a what's-her-face. Who was the other girl? His partner, the crazy... the
Miss Cavill?
the sorceress girl.
Yo,
Elena,
gosh.
Alicia?
Something.
Yuri?
No.
Yennefer. Yennefer. Yeah, Yennefer.
She was such a whiny bee.
I love Yennefer so much. Maybe because she is whiny. Because she reminds me of me, except not as powerful. So there you go. So your question, you had a thing. What do you want to talk about?
So there have been rumors that that Giancarlo Esposito, we know him from Better Call Saul, obviously from The Mandalorian, and he has said that he has interest in playing like Magneto or Xavier.
Oh my God, he would be a terrific...
But the thing is...
I really want him more as Magneto, because he's just evil.
But my thing is, he's so evil.
He's just good at that character.
My only problem with him being Magneto would be technically two things. Like, we don't want to erase people of color or anything or anybody that comes from an oppressed background. So Magneto was Jewish, and a big thing of him was being a part of the Holocaust. Now, do we erase that and create a different Magneto? Or is he just also a character who is a person of color and Jewish? That being said, I feel like with the Magneto cape and helmet, he would look too much like Moth Gideon, or is that that's how you say it? Moth or Moff?
Moth.
Oh, Moth. It's M-O-F-F, yeah.
Moth Gideon. I feel like he would look too close to Moth Gideon in the Magneto getup.
I'm not worried about that so much, but I mean, if that's the worst thing we got, I guess I'll take it.
That being said, do you think, I don't think I've ever seen him play good. Do you think he could do it? Like, not so much that he's not a good enough actor, but we are so conditioned to seeing him as the bad guy.
I try to imagine him as Gus when he's running, like when he's running the chicken place. Because he's very sweet and very kind to his employees. So I would go, okay, could Gus running the Pollo Yoko, would he be a good Professor X? It's like, I think good Gus would be a good Professor X.
And the thing with Giancarlo Esposito, like even with his character in The Boys, he does a really good job when he is the like the good guy with like Victoria, you know, with her daughter. He's like the grandpa kind of vibes. He plays
he's a
such
great
a good
actor.
But then
he's
you're sitting there and you're like, when is the evil going to come out? Like, it's going to come out when I least expect it, and he's going to kill us all.
Yeah, I feel like just because, I mean, there's a slight typecast there, but I believe that, you know, Jean Carlo is such a good actor that he would pull off a great Professor X. I'd be like, you know what? I'm all in. Let me check it out because they're both great characters. Mm-hmm. It's Shakespearean.
Yes.
And I think Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen did us a great, great performance in making those two characters Shakespearean and just, you know, the opposite side of a coin. So I'm all for it. I'm all for either one. I mean, as far as the cultural implications mm-hmm. of, you know, however they would handle that, I'm not going to comment on that because, you know what, that's, you know, I'm just commenting on would I like that actor
yes.
in that role just for performance base.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giancarlo would kill it.
Ah.
All right.
We're still hoping.
Yeah.
Got to wait till we find out more information about that, though.
Let us know what you think. Which one would you rather see him as? Or is there another character in the MCU you think he would fit better?
Oh, the Invisible Woman. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Well, now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky!
So yeah. We're still, you know, we got Thanksgiving literally just crept up on us and just, like, attacked us with a spork,
Food's
I feel like.
Thanksgiving next week.
That being said, you know, we have a lot of movies that are coming out both this week and next week, and I wanted to cover all of them.
Oh, yes. My God.
Go,
all right.
Go,
well, do
go,
it.
Go.
Do it.
One coming out. So this is one of those movies. It's tricky because Netflix does this a lot. They've been putting, like, all their movies or all the ones they think might be okay in theaters first, so that way they're allowed to get nominated for whatever later on if it
that
happens to be good, which, okay, that makes sense. So coming out today, we have one called Scrooged, A Christmas Carol, which is basically A Christmas Carol done all over again, animated on, and it will be on Netflix December 2nd. So if you don't want to run to the theaters, you can just wait for it
to be on
Netflix.
Is that based on something? I feel like Scrooged has been used before.
There was Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, there's Scrooge, the one with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But this is Scrooge, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, it's not Scrooged with a D.
It's Scrooge.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I need to enunciate. But it has Ebenezer Scrooge is being played by Luke Evans.
Oh,
well, so, that's, you know, interesting.
He's a guy. It's if you're going to want to watch a Christmas movie with your kids, this might be it. There's a few others that are coming out this season that I'm really excited for, but I'll get to that in a sec.
All right.
Another one that's coming out this week, there's not really many that are out this week that we would be interested in. This is another one of those movies I really want somebody to edit it for me and make it really short where I just see the key points and get the plot in like 5-10 minutes. Because I don't like, it's kind of a suspenseful, little horror themed, and it's got phenomenal actors in it. It's called The Menu. Have you heard of this one?
Oh, yes. Is that with Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Hoult. Basically, Ralph Fiennes' character is this phenomenal chef, and Nicholas Hoult's character takes his girlfriend or wife, Anna Taylor-Joy, like, we're going to go to this island, we're going to eat this really fancy menu and have, like, this is a really big experience, very hoity-toity, and it ends up being really messed up.
This is the one where they do all the murdering, and
yes.
I was like, no, this would ruin cooking for me. Because I'd be like, no, they're going to, no, don't kill
yeah, definitely.
Well, it's a good cast.
Yeah, definitely check out the trailer. I'm like, oh, I love these movies that have like a really good, unique plot, but I'm scared.
Yeah, it's tough to know if Vicky will watch this.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Vicky's got a line of like, it's too gory, scary, or maybe I can put up with it. I don't know where you are.
I feel like if I'm at home, I probably could. This is going to be in theaters for now.
Oh, you're too scared.
I'm too scared. I'm not going to.
You have to put that one on the back burner.
Oh, hey. Boom.
Get out of here.
I mean, after watching that TV show, The Bear, which was terrific, you know, which, again, had that dude from Andor in it, if you want to see him in a different character yelling at everybody.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I can see why people might want to go watch this because, you know, like, all right, let me watch. I love cooking shows and stuff. Let me see a cooking murder show.
Well, talking about murder, talking about eating, I'm skipping through to next week. Wait, next
yes.
week? Oh, is it next week or is it this week? Let me see. Actually, yeah, next week. Coming out on the 23rd. This makes me uncomfortable.
What's this?
It is called Bones and All. I've been getting a lot of ads for this in commercials.
Bones and All? What is this?
So it is starring Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, I know that guy.
And you may not recognize her name, but you know her. Taylor Russell.
Oh, I do know that name, but who is she?
Netflix.
Yeah, who is she? I know the name, but I can't think
she
of
it. She just broke Ticketmaster.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
No. She was in Lost in Space. She was Judy, the new one.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? I knew the name, but it's been a while since I've seen Taylor Russell in anything. I think the last thing I might have seen her in was Lost in Space.
So Bones and All is first a love story between Marin, played by Taylor Russell, a young woman learning how to survive on the margins of society, and Lee, played by Timothy Chalamet, an intense, disenfranchised drifter, a liberating road odyssey of two young people coming into their own, searching for their identity and chasing beauty in the perilous world that cannot abide who they are. Mind you, that does not give you anything of what the movie is.
Yeah.
They're cannibals.
Oh, wow.
Bones and all. The trailer is freaky. Like, she's sitting there like in bed with like maybe her sister or another
Judy
girl.
Robinson.
And she's like, oh.
Warning.
Just chomping off some digits.
Danger, Will Robinson. Your sister wants to eat you. Danger.
Yeah, it's like I think they kind of go into a world of a bunch of different cannibals. Like, when did you know you wanted to eat people? It's like, oh, God, no.
Well, that's
like,
yeah.
I would like to know the story and how it goes, but I'm not.
It's not the pillow talk I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's a brave role.
It did. It was at a lot of different film festivals, and it won a bunch of awards.
You're not going to get typecast if you go, you know what, I'm going to go from Judy Robinson to Cannibal Kid.
Yep. Nope.
Oh,
nobody
God,
know.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no.
You know what? I'm going to let you and Joey enjoy this movie.
Two horror movies that have to do with eating.
Yeah. No, I really want to enjoy Thanksgiving. I don't want to bones and all.
Well, that's always fun.
Whoa.
Well, okay, I mean, if not, you know what? In theaters, also, we do have Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, nice.
I like Knives Out. The first one was great.
If you want to wait for it to be on Netflix, you got to wait till December 23rd, though.
I will.
Definitely want to check that out.
Sweet.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
S went down with really the people that were one of the most powerful. And I love the fact that peacetime and being a king who is all about trying to make things peaceful doesn't get you S in history.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Game of Thrones had in their seasons.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that they commented on that he will not be remembered, even though all he did was fight to keep the peace while everybody was like, let's kill everything.
It makes me think of Richard III. So I did take Shakespeare in high school, and I was actually really interested specifically in this play. And it starts off with Richard III, who was said to look like a weird spider because he had these crutches, he had a giant hump on his back, and he was a phenomenal war hero. But in times of peace, he was restless. He had nothing to do because I'm good at war. So what does he do? You know what? I'm bored. I want to be king. That's the whole idea. So when you guys talk about this, I immediately think, I wonder if George R. R. Martin got inspiration from Richard III.
It's hard to believe that he didn't because, I mean, everybody gets great inspiration from Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to.
History in general, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously with English entertainment, you know, as this, I mean, with all the English actors, makes sense because that would be Damien's story because Damien just feels like his brother is too soft and his brother is the king. And we get to see just so much devolves and so many mores are brought into question. And so much deception and what motivates that deception and then power grabs and then upset and you know, the idea that men in general just go, you know what, we're going to go to war, and that women sometimes are dismissed when they can be wise, going, is there a better way? It is beautifully done. And then the children and the competition between the children, and you're not really my children because you weren't fathered by the right person, and should that even matter? And it's funny, it mattered to a lot of people, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, no, it doesn't matter because people remember the name anyway. Who cares who the body is as long as my name goes on? So much of that was covered as we see, like Joey talked about, the big power base of these people are the dragons, and they're going to turn on themselves. What would have kept them in base of power? They're like, oh, you know what? Our biggest weapon, we're just going to kill each other with our own weapons.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they've set up the Two Queen War, which was kind of alluded to with the episode names because they had both the queens, the Green and Black Queen.
Yep.
One being definitely more political, although playing the game terribly because I think the writers wanted to set this up. But again, season one to me was going to always be a little bumpy. We knew there were going to be time jumps. We knew that they were going to have to somehow make it a big war by at least season two. But, you know, and then, of course, Daenerys, or Daenerys, as I always keep calling her.
I hear all the names are really, really
similar. Yeah, Rhaenyra, I think.
Rhaenyra, yes. Rhaenyra is the other queen who is now lost a child and going to start the war. I think season two is going to be incredible. I would be very surprised that it doesn't hit that top peak of those 10 out of 10 episodes you remember from Game of Thrones, seasons one through three, four-ish maybe, because the worst part about season one of House of Dragons was they changed actresses or actors in the middle of the season to do the time jumps, and they had to set up the world. And that was hard. But they pushed through it, and they didn't do a bad job. And that's really important, because if they had done a bad job, they lose their audience. They did a decent job.
They did. I really, especially, I like both Rhaenyras. I really, the adult Rhaenyra grew on me, because I really like young Rhaenyra. The adult Rhaenyra, I'm like, you know what? She's reminding me of, like, it seems like it's the same character, even though it's a different actor. That's done well. And the same thing for the green queen, who I'm forgetting her name.
Allison,
yes, thank you. I thought both Allisons did a really good job, to the point where that seemed more seamless to me. I really felt like, I feel like they're the same person. And Matt Smith is killing it as Damon.
Pun intended.
He's the favorite character of the show. Everywhere I read on any review, he's the best character. He's supposed to be a hated character, at least for the first half of this show.
It's like you don't know that fandoms love the bad guy.
Yeah, well, and Matt's a great actor.
Plus, that doesn't hurt.
Matt, and us Doctor Who fans and people who watch the first few seasons of The Crown, you just know that the dude's got chops. He can figure it out.
It is really fun, though, to see an actor that you know for good things turn to be bad.
Yeah, well, and you
could, like David Tennant in Jessica Jones.
Yes, and Matt had that look, and even Doctor Who, where David Tennant's Doctor was always a friendly guy. Matt's Doctor sometimes was he was just like,
but he had a dorky vibe to him.
Well, he had a dorky vibe, but Vicky, as he was in the show, mm-hmm. and Matt talked about this, he decided he wanted to bring some elements from the first Doctor, and mm-hmm. the first Doctor was crabby and kind of didn't like humanity. So I love that Matt brought that to the character, and therefore you can go, oh, okay, this is not such a friendly dude. He still made him lovable, but to make an unfriendly sort of persona lovable, it seemed like Matt was the right guy for this Damon character.
When we're done wrapping up the whole Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, I do have a question that Joe and I have talked about on a previous episode, talking about actors portraying like good then bad, vice versa. And I would like your opinion on something.
Sure thing. Well, I give Game, I give it a solid 8.5 at least, I enjoyed the season. Who knows if I gave it even more than it should, because I kept watching it against Ring of Power, and that's Rings of Power, and that was unfortunate for that, but very fortunate for House of the Dragon. I, like you, Joe, looking forward to the next season. I love what they've done.
Yeah, I agree, and I think this just goes to show you, man, when you take some of that budget you have and you put it into writing as opposed to CGI, because the dragon CGI in this show is not, opera quality. It's not the highest you've ever seen. It's actually, I'd say, pretty average. But when you pay the writers and you create a good script and storyline, it's far more profitable.
And just want to say this, because my wife and I have our guilty pleasure is Netflix's Fate the Winx saga.
Which is based on like a children's series and
I know.
Like, toys.
Which is amazing what they've done with this, because it's actually, I don't know if it was toys first and they wrote a story around it. I give them a lot of credit. It feels like a CW show, but the reason I bring it up is that Eve Best was on the show as a character that was a big character, and she's such a good actor. And Eve, of course, is Rhaena Targaryen, which was going to be the first queen, but they said, no, we can't have a female.
Queen that never was or something?
Yes, exactly. So Eve got that job, because all of a sudden they replaced her, or basically they had somebody else come in. Whatever the case may be, she was no longer on the show after the first season. And I'm like, is it because Eve got the job on Game of Thrones? Because Eve's a good actor. And not that we don't like the second season of Winx. It's just that I think Eve is missed because she's just a really good actor.
Yeah, and I do want to say, I did say profitable about Game of Thrones. And I will give Lord of the Rings this. they did have insane viewership, better than House of Dragons up until the last episode. So
really? More people were doing the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's just because of the name.
It is because of the name. Now, that doesn't mean review-wise it's as good.
No.
I hope people then will go back, the Lord of the Rings fans, go back and watch, go get HBO, man, because you are missing out on a great season with House of the Dragon.
I believe House of Dragons' last episode was after Lord of the Rings finished, and once it finished, that last episode of House of the Dragons was higher. So essentially,
so good.
They were competing, and I do think it'll be interesting to see which season two will have more viewership. Only time will tell, but I'm hoping in here, I want more Lord of the Rings in the sense that now that they have taken the showrunners, they've given them less of a position. We have new writers. I want that show to be good. We should have two of the best shows on television right now.
Yeah. Here's the trouble, Joe. Game of Thrones does it better.
They do.
And here's why. Lord of the Rings was written by Tolkien a thousand years, whatever. But, you know, and I've seen interviews with Tolkien way back, old timey stuff. And he just wouldn't have put in the crap, not the crap, but he wouldn't put in, I should say, the salacious stuff that George R. R. Martin's putting in, like the incest and the chopping off of stuff and the doing this with that and that. And I think that we're used to the grit of that. And Lord of the Rings can't go there, and therefore you better put on an amazing story if you can't give us some good grit and good emotions.
I agree with that to an extent. I will say Aragorn's character in the first Lord of the Rings, if you remember that kind of fallen witcher-esque type character,
yes. Yeah.
That is where the show should have started, but in a different way. And they tried, but you can't make him Sauron. He's the bad guy.
I know. Did you talk about that, by the way, with the Witcher?
Yeah. Oh, the poor Witcher recasting, we did mention it. Yeah,
yeah. I'm so sad.
But have you seen the mock-up that someone did of,
Liam
Hemsworth, thank you, as the Witcher?
He's pretty.
He looks pretty good.
Look, I'll watch. Yeah. I'll watch it. I'm just, you know, Cavill's performance.
He's so good.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's just like, I mean, it's kind of
like. And also Cavill.
Yeah.
I can't blame you there.
Listen, that's fine.
Well, Vicky, you had a question.
I'm more of a what's your face? Who was the other girl? His partner, the crazy, the
Miss Cavill?
the sorceress girl.
Yo,
Elena,
gosh.
Alicia.
Yuri? No.
Yennefer.
Yennefer.
Yeah, Yennefer.
She was such a whiny bee.
I love Yennefer so much. Maybe because she is whiny. Because she reminds me of me, except not as powerful. Yeah, so there you go. So your question, you had a thing. What do you want to talk about?
So there have been rumors that that Giancarlo Esposito, we know him from Better Call Saul, obviously from The Mandalorian, and he has said that he has interest in playing like Magneto or Xavier.
Oh my God, he would be a terrific.
But the thing is,
I really want him more as Magneto because he's just evil.
But my thing is, he's so evil.
He's just good at that character.
My only problem with him being Magneto would be technically two things. Like, we don't want to erase people of color, anything, or anybody that comes from an oppressed background. So Magneto was Jewish, and a big thing of him was being a part of the Holocaust. Now, do we erase that and create a different Magneto? Or is he just also a character who is a person of color and Jewish? That being said, I feel like with the Magneto cape and helmet, he would look too much like Moth Gideon, or is that's how you say it? Moth or Moth?
Moth.
Oh, Moth. It's M-O-F-F, yeah.
Moth Gideon. I feel like he would look too close to Moth Gideon in the Magneto getup.
I'm not worried about that so much, but I mean, if that's the worst thing we got, I guess I'll take it.
That being said, do you think, I don't think I've ever seen him play good. Do you think he could do it? Like, not so much that he's not a good enough actor, but we are so conditioned to seeing him as the bad guy.
I try to imagine him as Gus when he's running, like when he's running the chicken place. Because, you know, he's very sweet and very kind to his employees. So I would go, okay, could Gus running the Polo Yoko, would he be a good Professor X? It's like, I think good Gus would be a good Professor X.
And the thing with Giancarlo Esposito, like even with his character in The Boys, he does a really good job when he is the good guy with like Victoria, you know, with her daughter. He's like the grandpa kind of vibes. He plays
he's a
such
great
a good,
actor.
But then
he's
you're sitting
actor.
There and you're like, when is the evil going to come out? Like, it's going to come out when I least expect it, and he's going to kill us all.
Yeah, I feel like just because, I mean, there's a slight typecast there, but I believe that, you know, Giancarlo is such a good actor that he would pull off a great Professor X. I'd be like, you know what? I'm all in. Let me check it out because they're both great characters. Mm-hmm. It's Shakespearean.
Yes.
And I think Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen did us a great, great performance in making those two characters Shakespearean and just, you know, the opposite side of a coin. So I'm all for it. I'm all for either one. I mean, as far as the cultural implications mm-hmm. of, you know, however they would handle that, I'm not going to comment on that because, you know what, that's, you know, I'm just commenting on would I like that actor
yes.
in that role just for performance based.
Mm-hmm.
I think Giancarlo would kill it.
Ah.
All right.
We're still hoping.
Yeah.
Got to wait till we find out more information about that, though.
Let us know what you think. Which one would you rather see him as? Or is there another character in the MCU you think he would fit better?
Oh, the Invisible Woman. No doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Well, now it is time to get to
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky!
So yeah. We're still, you know, we got Thanksgiving literally just crept up on us and just, like, attacked us with a spork,
Food's I feel
like.
Thanksgiving next week.
That being said, you know, we have a lot of movies that are coming out both this week and next week, and I wanted to cover all of them.
Oh, yes. My God.
Go,
all right.
Go,
well, do
go,
it.
Go.
Do it.
One coming out. So this is one of those movies. It's tricky because Netflix does this a lot. They've been putting, like, all their movies or all the ones they think might be okay in theaters first, so that way they're allowed to get nominated for whatever later on if it
that
happens to be good, which, okay, that makes sense. So coming out today, we have one called Scrooged, A Christmas Carol, which is basically A Christmas Carol done all over again, animated on, and it will be on Netflix December 2nd. So if you don't want to run to the theaters, you can just wait for it
to get
on Netflix.
Is that based on something? I feel like Scrooged has been used before.
There was Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, there's Scrooge, the one with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
But this is Scrooge, A Christmas Carol.
Oh, it's not Scrooged with a
D. It's
Scrooge. Ah,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I need to enunciate. But it has Ebenezer Scrooge is being played by Luke Evans.
Oh,
well, that's interesting.
He's a guy. It's if you're going to want to watch a Christmas movie with your kids, this might be it. There's a few others that are coming out this season that I'm really excited for, but I'll get to that in a sec.
All right.
Another one that's coming out this week. There's not really many that are out this week that we would be interested in. This is another one of those movies I really want somebody to edit it for me and make it really short where I just see the key points and get the plot in like 5-10 minutes. Because I don't like, it's kind of a suspenseful, little horror themed, and it's got phenomenal actors in it. It's called The Menu. Have you heard of this one?
Oh, yes. Is that with Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Anya Taylor-Joy, Nicholas Hoult. Basically, Ralph Fiennes' character is this phenomenal chef, and Nicholas Hoult's character takes his girlfriend or wife, Anna Taylor-Joy, like, we're going to go to this island, we're going to eat this really fancy menu and have, like, this is a really big experience, very hoity-toity, and it ends up being really messed up.
This is the one where they do all the murdering, and
yes.
I was like, no, this would ruin cooking for me. Because I'd be like, no, they're going to, no, don't kill
yeah, definitely.
Well, it's a good cast.
Yeah, definitely check out the trailer. I'm like, oh, I love these movies that have like a really good, unique plot, but I'm scared.
Yeah, it's tough to know if Vicky will watch this.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. Vicky's got a line of like, it's too gory, scary, or maybe I can put up with it. I don't know where you are.
I feel like if I'm at home, I probably could. This is going to be in theaters for now.
Oh, you're too scared.
I'm too scared. I'm not going to.
You have to put that one on the back burner.
Oh, hey. Boom. Get out of here. I mean, after watching that TV show, The Bear, which was terrific, you know, which, again, had that dude from Andor in it, if you want to see him in a different character yelling at everybody.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I can see why people might want to go watch this because, you know, like, all right, let me watch. I love cooking shows and stuff. Let me see a cooking murder show.
Well, talking about murder, talking about eating, I'm skipping through to next week.
Wait, next week?
Oh, is it next week or is it this week? Let me see. Actually, yeah, next week, coming out on the 23rd. This makes me uncomfortable.
What's this?
It is called Bones and All. I've been getting a lot of ads for this and commercials.
Bones and All. What is this?
So it is starring Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, I know that guy.
And you may not recognize her name, but you know her, Taylor Russell.
Oh, I do know that name, but who is she?
Netflix.
Yeah, who is she? I know the name, but I can't think.
She
of
just
who
broke Ticketmaster.
Oh, Taylor Swift.
No. She was in Lost in Space. She was Judy, the new one.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? I knew the name, but it's been a while since I've seen Taylor Russell in anything. I think the last thing I might have seen her in was Lost in Space.
So Bones and All is first a love story between Marin, played by Taylor Russell, a young woman learning how to survive on the margins of society, and Lee, played by Timothée Chalamet, an intense, disenfranchised drifter, a liberating road odyssey of two young people coming into their own, searching for their identity and chasing beauty in the perilous world that cannot abide who they are. Mind you, that does not give you anything of what the movie is.
Yeah.
They're cannibals.
Oh, wow.
Bones and all. The trailer is freaky. Like, she's sitting there like in bed with like maybe her sister or another
Judy
girl.
Robinson.
And she's like, oh.
Warning.
Just chomping off some digits.
Danger, Will Robinson. Your sister wants to eat you. Danger.
Yeah. It's like, I think they kind of go into a world of a bunch of different cannibals. Like, when did you know you wanted to eat people? It's like, oh, God, no.
Well, that's
like,
yeah.
I would like to know the story and how it goes, but I'm not.
It's not the pillow talk I'm looking for.
Yeah. It's a brave role.
It did. It was at a lot of different film festivals, and it won a bunch of awards.
You're not going
to
get typecast if you go, you know what? I'm going to go from Judy Robinson to Cannibal Kid.
Yep. Nope.
Oh,
nobody
God,
know.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no.
You know what? I'm going to let you and Joey enjoy this movie.
Two horror movies that have to do with eating.
Yeah. No, I really want to enjoy Thanksgiving. I don't want to bones and all.
Well, that's always fun.
Whoa.
Well, okay, I mean, if not, you know what? In theaters, also, we do have Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
I like Knives Out. The first one was great.
If you want to wait for it to be on Netflix, you got to wait till December 23rd, though.
I will.
Definitely want to check that out.
Sweet.
And until next time, guys, stay nerdy.